In the few minutes remaining, I want to spend some time talking about the question at the pool. You got a man here who's been laying at this pool for 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus comes to the man in verse 6 and says, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well?" What kind of a question is that? I've been laying at this pool for 38 years, and you ask me, do I want to be made well? Well, you know what? That's not such a bad question. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a man who had a huge temper problem. Hollering at his wife and kids, offered help, refused help. Then he started hollering at the neighbors, offered help, refused help. The police get involved, and once again, he refused to acknowledge any need of help, any need to change. Then he kind of became violent with the neighbors, charged with a crime, lost the job. The house was up for sale. Yet again, not his fault. It's always everybody else's fault, and he does not need to change. We see this here at Oxford Valley. People come, call, asking for help. We'd love to help them. And actually, we got a pretty good success rate. But many times after the phone call, I say, listen, there's no financial charge. Instead of doing that, you got to come to church. And you have to do your homework. And it's going to be daily homework. You have to work at it. But when they find out what's required of them, we don't hear from them again. And we could go on and on and on. But here's the question, which is a larger question, and that is that why is it that sometimes some people just have a really difficult time changing or breaking habits? We know that there's destructive behaviors that we're engaging in, and yet we just keep going. Why don't we break habits? Why is it we get in this comfort zone and we just stay there? We're not willing to increase our skill sets. We're not willing to try to take some classes or whatever. We're just happy just to stay right where we're at. Why do people stay in abusive situations? Why are habits sometimes so hard to break? And yet, sometimes when we do break them, we run back to them way too frequently. The background in verses 1 through 5, in John chapter 5, we got a man here who's been laying at this pool 38 years. How many of you are less or 38 years older or less? Want to raise your hand? How many are? Raise them high so everybody can say, who's less than 38 years of age? There are a few. Some of us wish we could put our hands up. Like, how old's my grandkid or how old's my child? Does that count? 38 years. But let me quickly, as you can see there on the list, and we got to run through this because I want to spend some time with application. You can see the camaraderie of friends. He's been there for 38 years. There's been people that have been there for a long time as well. There is the attention that is received, the poor guy, and just kind of the negative attention, but he's getting attention. He's probably got seniority now. He's up there on this rank of seniority because how many people have been there longer than 38 years? And all that that involves, the food, the clothing, the necessities of life. Life is being done to him. Because being an invalid, he obviously can't do much himself. Again, the lifestyle experience, again, is just everybody's doing for him. And what's required of him? Probably not much at all. Not much at all. And then there's also just this hopeless resignation. You know, it just seems so big. I've been there for so long, nothing's ever going to change. So then the question... And I think there's some reasons why Jesus Christ did ask this question, although initially when you read it, you go, that's a crazy question. No, it's not. Because isn't it true, and I'm not asking for hands, but isn't it true, as you see there in capital A, you know of people who would rather stay in their misery, that would rather stay in their difficult situation than to change. Because you've offered them change. You can come here and live. You can do this. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to keep doing this. We can help you stop. and yet they don't change. So the question is not so off the wall, because we all know people who would rather continue in their present state of misery than to change. For Jim Fried, or he's got here, Tony Robbins says, you know, until the pain of the same is greater than the pain of change, then nothing happened. Because there is pain in changing. There is the comfort with the familiar. Most people, again, as I said, they just don't like to change. They don't like a new job. They don't like new responsibilities at job. And many times they don't like to make new friends. They just like that known little world, and they don't want anything more. There's the trauma of the change. Again, whether it's the changing of a job, the relocating of the family, the moving, new church, new friends, changes in one's personal life, we all don't like that. Typically, people kind of shun that a little bit. You mean I'm supposed to transfer to a new place for my job out of state? Well, let me ask, how many of you would love to be transferred out of state next week for a job position? Anybody? Nobody is saying they'd like to do that. So again, the question is not so off the wall. You've been laying here for 38 years. This is your life as you know it. Do you want to change? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? So here comes the question. You know, here comes now the individual responsibility. Is this something you want? Now, probably all the family who's been taking care of you for 38 years, they'd be on that one. Yes! Heal him. I'm getting tired of dragging him every day for 38 years. Heal him. Let him get a job. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But you know what I'm saying here? What's your desire? What do you really want out of life? Do you want to change? The want. That next word there, when Jesus says there in verse 6, do you want to be made well? Want. Do you really want it, knowing that your comfort zone is going to be threatened? Do you really want to be made well, knowing that you're going to be stretched? There's that terrifying fear of the unknown, to which many of us can identify with, since no one raised their hand and say, yeah, I'd like to try a new state, new job, new climate. Yeah, sign me up. I'm out of here. So there's that fear of the unknown that is intimidating. And what Jesus is saying here is, do you want to be made well in spite of what you may face in the future, which presently is completely unknown? Do you want to be stretched? And then he says there in verse 6, do you want to be made well? This is going to be a radical life change. This is a game changer for you. Your life as you know it will never be the same. How many of us have had children? You know what life was like before children, right? Life was sleeping in Saturday mornings. Life was just getting up at a whim and doing whatever we wanted, and then we had kids. And life was never the same until that's when life begins. Actually, I guess, is when the kids leave home and the dog dies. So says the joke. But life is never the same once you have kids. And that's still there, and then grandkids, and it's different. And that's what he's saying to this man. This is a life-altering event. 38 years worth of habits, friendships, worldview, because he had a rather limited worldview. His limited worldview was there at the pool. That was his world. You willing to give all that up? Are you willing to change? Do you really want to change? No matter what others might think of you, because in verse 10, they were right on his case. They were saying, what are you doing walking on the Sabbath? And we'll get to that in just a minute. As you get on to verse 7, though, he says, depending upon your translation, sir, or but Lord, what's he do? He starts making excuses. And again, the similarity is profound in my life and in your life, as when we offer people help, trying to help them get out of various situations, and immediately we're hit with excuses. But You know, I've been trying for years and I cannot. And here's a key point. And I got to keep moving because time is again against us. But in essence, you're right. You cannot, but the grace of God can. You cannot, but God can. That is why we've been able to help 100% of the people who want help, because we infuse God into the equation. And God radically, fundamentally changes everything. So we've got the fear of the unknown, and these just excuses as we're going to race through here. Someone says they're as common as ticks on a dog in the summer. I mean, they're just all the time. They're just there. And we've got the fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of change. Here's one. And here's another one, is fear of realizing the goals or dreams. Sometimes we call this a midlife crisis. We've realized the goals and dreams. Okay, now what? Now what? So do you want to be made well? For 38 years, your life goal and ambition was to be healed, and now I'm going to take that away from you because you will, in fact, be healed. You see the logic or the reasoning with that? And then there's just the comfort in the current situation. There's the camaraderie. The pool has been his life. He's had his spot at that pool for 38 years. And again, staying where you're at, sometimes we think, you know, it's not so bad. And I can stay in this bad situation, which isn't so bad, because of Jackie's life. Jackie's got it so much worse than I do, right? But you know what I'm saying? That we can always look around and see someone who has it much worse. So we're willing to say, nah, I'll just stay here. I'll just stay here. Then we've got the command. And the command in verse 8 is, listen, here's what I want you to do. Well, depending upon your translation, rise or get up. Two things interesting here. First of all, he doesn't condemn him for his excuses. But. He doesn't go anywhere near that. He just ignores all those excuses and he says, get up. Get up. He's telling him here, I'm not condemning your past either. You know, like why you got into this place in the first place. Just get up. Rise up. Then he says, second of all, there in verse 8, take up. I want you to take up your bedding. You're not staying here anymore and you're not coming back. I don't want you to make any provisions for returning to this pool. So gather up your belongings and let's go. The center of your life is no longer going to be here. Your worldview is no longer going to be here. You have no reason to return. You have a new life. You're not coming back here again. And then he says, walk. Get up, gather all your stuff, and let's get walking. Let's get walking. Let's start doing life instead of life happening to you. Let's start doing for others instead of sitting for 38 years and having people do for you. Let's start going and doing life. Let's establish a new center for your life. You used to be the pool, not going to be that anymore. We're going to establish a new center for your life. In other words, put your faith in God, receive the grace of God with the healing, and then be obedient to God and start walking. The results, as you know it, immediate obedience. He did require him to make an effort. Faith without works is dead. You got to have that balance. Faith in God and human responsibility. And that has baffled theologians for centuries. Where is that balance between sovereignty and responsibility? We're not going to answer that question today either. But there was that immediate obedience. God required him to make an effort. And notice the man. He took faith in what God said and he did in fact get up. He took God at his word and he obeyed. In verse 10, there was immediate resistance. Then the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, is this the Sabbath? It's not lawful for you to be walking and working on the Sabbath. What are you doing? And isn't it true that sometimes when you and I change, there is almost immediate resistance? Resistance. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to really start working at the gym. And the first day you're at the gym, you pull a quad. Oh, man. Now you can hardly move, or you pull your back, and you think, but God, I really wanted to go to the gym, and now I can't hardly even move because I throw my body all out of whack. And it takes months as we get older. Some of you are young, weeks, but some of us, it takes months to get older and feel better to go back to the gym again. And then something else happened. It seems like there's always that resistance as soon as we try to change. And you and I, we need to be aware of that. But notice else in verse 14, there's that immediate worship. And this is, again, I love this man. Where did he go? Let me ask you. If you're laying at the pool for 38 years and your whole year's life was 38 years at the pool and you were healed, where would you go? Man, I'd go run see my grandkids, run see my parents. I'd go run, hey, you know what? I'd go hunting. I haven't been hunting in 38 years. Or I'd go bowling, or I'd go skiing, or I'd go swimming, or I'd go boating, or I'd get that car out and burn some rubber in fourth gear. I mean, man, where did he go? He went to the temple. And you see that there. Because he's there at the temple, and Jesus afterwards, verse 14, found him in the temple and said to him, this is what worship is. In essence, we see a beautiful picture of pure worship. Worship here is, he is saying, I have realized what God has done in my life, and I've come here to the temple to acknowledge that. That's what worship is. Not so much singing, not so much music, not so much all the other stuff. It's a heart response of what God has done in our life. And we gather together and we lift that up to God and we go, thank you. Thank you. Probably a little stronger terminology than that. And then there's that immediate proclamation in verse 15. And then he departed and he told the Jews that it was Jesus and why he had made him well. There's immediate proclamation. He told everyone. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid. But he was motivated by the grace of God and the effect that it had in his life. You know, again, we sing the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. We don't really know what that means. I think every year that goes by, we have more fuller understanding of what that amazing grace is. Then he says there in verse 14, the bottom of it, he says, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Don't repeat this pattern of sin. And we can see it. We see it with abuse. We see it with any other number of the social ills that we don't have time to go into. But it is true. It seems like we break a habit of sin, we stay away for a while, and then we relapse, and we relapse with a vengeance. And it seems like we're trying to make up for lost time of the sin that we hadn't done in a while. So when we fall off or when we relapse, it's just not a little bit. I mean, we plunge in over our heads, make up time. And Jesus is saying, don't go back. If you go back, it's worse than it was before. So here's some applications. God graciously went to the pool. God didn't have to do that. God graciously spoke to the man. God graciously offered healing. God graciously instructed him. All that the man needed to do was believe it, that he wasn't some charlatan, some drunk guy happening to wander by the pool saying, hey, buddy, you want to be well? Well, get up and walk. He believed that he was God, and he did what was asked of him to do. So what about you and I here today? What in your life needs to be changed? Maybe it's a temper. Your temper, you know it's ruining your relationship. It's endangering your employment. I mean, everybody kind of stays clear of you because, holy cow, when you go off, it's a mega. Well, it's a biggie. With your temper, do you want to be made well? Maybe you're not so good at communication. And you know it's been hurting your relationships. You know it's been hurting you at work. You want to be made well. There's some habit that you and I have that's just not pleasing to God. It's harming you. It's harming others. Do you want to be made well? That's the question. If you would like some additional help on making yourself well, you can talk to Ken, you can talk to Anna, talk to Robin, talk to Deb, talk to John, talk to myself. We'd love to help you in taking this new life. Rise up. Gather up your possessions because you're not coming back. And walk. And walk. Why don't people change? If we keep doing what we've always done, we're just going to keep getting what we've always got. Change. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? If you want us to help, reach out to us, please.